Turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 16. It's great to see everyone here today. What a great day we have to be able to come out and worship our God, to be able to sing to Him and pray to Him and to remember the great sacrifice that gives our lives so much meaning. We wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for the sacrifice of Jesus that we've come together to celebrate this day and that we've just done. And what a great time of communion it is to be able to come together and remember that great act of love. We do have some visitors in the audience today, and we're thankful for you being here. I have a few here that are very close to me. Sam and Ashley Walters are here from Shreveport. I used to live with Sam when I was in college, and so I'm going to ask you to do something for me that I don't typically ask you to do when we have visitors. I want you to ignore Sam. Shake his hand, wish him Godspeed, safe travels, but don't ask him any questions. And I'm obviously kidding about that to some degree, but Sam and I go way back, and I have just as many stories on him as he has on me. So let's just remember that, Sam. But no, I tell you what, when I was living with Sam in college, I would consider that to be probably the greatest stretch of spiritual growth that I've had in my life. That group of guys that I lived with, we weren't perfect in any stretch of the imagination, but we leaned on each other, and we went through some tough stuff, the five of us in that house, and we stuck together. And so I consider Sam to be closer than a brother in that regard, and I'm glad that they were able to stop in and spend the day with us today. Last week we talked about encouraging young people and how important it is to God that we do that, and how seriously God takes it when we don't do that. We talked about the warning of Jesus saying if anybody puts a stumbling block in a young person's way, that it would be better for them to have this heavy stone hung around their neck and be cast into the sea. Because God takes it very seriously how we treat our young people. And so we spent the sermon time last week talking about being an encouragement to young people. And really the lesson was for us older people and helping us to see what our responsibility is to younger people. And I asked you at the end of that lesson, what is going to be the next thing that we're going to do to encourage young people? We did the meeting a couple of weeks ago where we had the eight different young men come in and deliver a lesson. And I talked about how that was a very encouraging thing. It was an encouragement to them as young people for us to do that. And so I said, okay, that's the first thing we've done. What's going to be the next thing that we can do to encourage young people? And so the next thing that we can do to encourage young people is actually going to be today. And so I'm going to have to ask you again at the end of the lesson, what's the next thing going to be? Well, when a young person comes up to you and says, I would like to hear a lesson about the responsibility of young people, it doesn't matter what you have planned to speak on that week. You stop what you're doing and you honor the request of a young person that's crying out and saying, I'd like to hear this. I would like to hear a lesson on this. And obviously, it wasn't a situation where a young person came to me and said, I need you to preach a lesson on this. It was obviously done in a very respectful way and just said, hey, yeah, you talked about the responsibility of other people toward young people, but let's hear a lesson that's spoken to young people about what our responsibility is. And so it's an honor for me to be able to satisfy that request this morning. And hopefully it turns out to be another encouraging thing for our young people. I want to bring your attention to Acts chapter 16 and talk just a little bit with you today about Timothy. Timothy is one of the great figures of the New Testament. You obviously can tell very easily that Timothy has two letters written to him in Scripture, and so that alone makes him a pretty significant figure. That we've got two letters written by Paul to Timothy, so we know a little bit about what Paul was trying to teach him or say to him in those letters. But the work of Timothy is so much more extensive in Scripture than just having a couple of letters that bear his name. And so I've got three main things that I would like to share with our young people today as words of encouragement to talk about the responsibility that you have within God's kingdom. In Acts chapter 16, beginning in verse 1, it says, Paul came also to Derbe and to Lystra, and a disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer, but his father was a Greek. He was well spoken of by the brethren who were in Lystra and Iconium. Paul wanted this man to go with him, and he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in those parts, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. Now while they were passing through the cities, they were delivering the decrees which had been decided upon by the apostles and elders who were in Jerusalem for them to observe. So the churches were being strengthened in the faith and were increasing in number daily. So we're introduced to Timothy here in Acts chapter 16. Paul is just beginning his second missionary journey, and not to duplicate some of the stuff that we're going to talk about, not this Sunday night, but next Sunday night when we get to this section of Scripture in our Sunday evening Bible class, we're going to be talking a little bit about the beginning of the second missionary journey. But just a way to summarize what's going on here, Paul, who's just come from Jerusalem with the written decree of the council that met there in Jerusalem, and he's going around to share the message that had been agreed upon in Jerusalem. There were all of these churches out there that were being troubled by the Judaizing teachers, and so Paul is going back to those areas to see how those brethren are doing, to see how they're handling this false teaching and the discouragement that had been brought to them by what these men had done when they taught these false things. And so he goes back with Silas and goes back to some of the cities that he went to on his first missionary journey, to Derbe, to Lystra, to Iconium. And he wants to see how those people are doing. And he finds a young man named Timothy. I imagine that Paul already knew who Timothy was, or at least knew who his mother and his grandmother were from his time on his first missionary journey. But Timothy now is at a point where Paul recognizes that there's something about this young man. There's something about this young man that's special. He's well spoken of in all of the surrounding areas. This is someone who has a loving mother and a loving grandmother. We find that out in the letters that Paul wrote to Timothy, how they had raised him to be a strong believer and to be someone who was responsible. But the first thing that I would like to share with our young people today by word of encouragement is to find someone like Paul in your life that can be there to help you, to strengthen you, to lead you, to guide you, and to speak truth into you. Your mom and your dad, they love you, and they want to do that as much as they possibly can. But let's be honest. As young people, who wants to listen to instruction and criticism from their mom and their dad? That's just not, sometimes that's not the source. That's not the way to get through to me, right? And as a young person, as we're trying to figure out what that balance is between my parents are over me and I've got to listen to them and I've got to obey them, but I'm also trying to figure out how life outside this cocoon is going to be. And when I become a butterfly, what's that going to look like? What's this big, bold, beautiful world going to hold for me? And how am I going to live? Sometimes our parents are not the ones that are able to speak that truth into us. And so I encourage you to find someone like a Paul who can do that for you. Someone who is going to help you find the right path that God has in store for you. To find out what it is that God wants you to do in your life. Obviously, in this particular case, Timothy, it doesn't seem that Timothy had an encouragement from his father. His father seems to be absent from the story. There's just no mention of him other than that he was a Greek. And so whether he's involved in Timothy's life or not, I don't know, but certainly it doesn't seem that he's providing any kind of moral or spiritual encouragement. And so Paul comes onto the scene, and he sees something in Timothy. So this is kind of we can look at this from both perspectives. Those of us who are older need to be looking at our younger people and seeing the Timothy in them. And seeing how we can invest. Not to try to overtake the parents and what they're doing to raise these young people, but to see how can I pour life and truth into these young people. These young people that are not my children. And what I want is for those of you who are around me on a regular basis, you, my family, my home, I want you to figure out how you can pour truth into my kids. Because they're not able to listen to me at times in the truth that they need to hear. And so how can you invest in my kids? How can you pour truth and love and life into them? Be thinking about that, not just with my kids, but all the young people that we have here. And young people, if we're not doing that, if we're not pouring truth and life into you, then go up and find somebody and ask for it. If we're not doing our jobs, then you call us into action. In whatever way we can be there to support you and strengthen you and guide you, we want to do that. Timothy had Paul to do that for him. And it starts right here on the second missionary journey. And so that's the first point that I would share with you, is find someone who can speak encouragement and truth and life into your life. That would be there, even if they need to tell you something that maybe you're not able to listen to from your parents at this particular point. Well, for whatever reason, those people will be there to speak actual truth to you and not just tell you what you want to hear. The second thing I want to share from you from the life, share with you from the life of Timothy, is to not be afraid to do hard things. I want you to look with me in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Now, as you're turning those pages, I just want to remind you about what that second missionary journey was like. They left from that area right there where Derbe and Lystra and Iconium all kind of come together in a little triangle, and they went in... in the direction of the west. And they really didn't know where they were going to go at that point. They wanted to go to Asia, and it just didn't work out. The Spirit said no, and they tried to go up to Bithynia to the north. The Spirit said no, and so they split the difference and ended up in the city of Troas. That's where we see Paul hearing the man from Macedonia in a vision saying, come over here and help us. And they ended up working in cities like Philippi and Thessalonica. Now, Paul's time in Thessalonica did not end well at all. He's only there for a short time, just a few weeks. We talked about this a little bit last week, but just by way of review, he's only there for a few weeks, and it ends with a great persecution against Paul and against the believers there in Thessalonica. Now keep in mind, Timothy is a young man. He's traveling with Paul, and already he has seen a great deal of opposition. He's seen a lot of people who are attacking him and the people that are with him in Thessalonica to so much a degree that they have to get ushered out of town. At least Paul did, and then he called for Timothy to join him later. But Timothy saw how difficult things were in Thessalonica. And it says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, just in the very first verse, it identifies Timothy as being with Paul when he writes this letter. But there's a lot going on, a lot of moving pieces that have taken place in the meantime that we just can't see until we put the pieces together. And so if you put the pieces together, you find out that Paul, when he was ushered down to Athens, he really wanted to go back to Thessalonica. He felt like there was more work to be done there. He felt like that there were people that needed to be strengthened. He felt like people were going to possibly buckle under the pressure of persecution. This would be just like the seed sown on the stony soil, right? It springs up with gladness, and then persecution comes, and the sun beats down on the plant, and there's just no depth. And so that seems to be Paul's fear. He wants to go back to Thessalonica. More than once he wanted to go back to Thessalonica, but Satan continued to hinder him. And it says in chapter 3 in verse 1, therefore, when we could endure it no longer, we thought it best to be left behind at Athens alone. And we sent Timothy, our brother and God's fellow worker in the gospel of Christ, to strengthen and encourage you as to your faith, so that no one would be disturbed by these afflictions. For you yourselves know that we have been destined for this. So young people, I want you to think about this. You've been picked up from your home. You've been traveling with Paul for some time now. You've seen some really amazing things, but you've also seen some really hard things. You were there in Philippi when Paul was arrested. You were there when they were being mistreated in jail until they threw out the fact that they were Roman citizens. You were there in Thessalonica when Jason and his household were dragged out of their home and taken before the magistrate. And they were accusing him and persecuting him and his family. And that persecution continued on. You were there. When Paul left to go to Athens, you stayed behind at least for a short time. And you saw what trouble came upon the brethren at Thessalonica. And Paul says to you, as a young person, here's what I need you to do. I need you to go back to Thessalonica. And I need you, a young person, to strengthen and comfort the people who are being daily beaten for their faith. And what we don't see out of Timothy is any hesitation at all. There's no part about what we learn about Timothy's life where it says that Timothy found himself in a hard place and he went back to Derbe and Lystra and Iconium to be back closer to home with his family. There seems to be no hesitation in Timothy's actions to go and do exactly what Paul has asked him to do. To go into a place where people are being daily beaten for their faith and to provide some measure of strength and comfort for them. And so that's what he did. And he went and he found out exactly what was going on in Thessalonica, and he went and brought back word to Paul and said, "Paul, you'll be amazed at the endurance that the brethren in Thessalonica have. That we were only with them for a short time, and they are being completely mistreated for their belief and faith in Jesus as Lord, but they're enduring. They've got some challenges, they've got some problems that we need to iron out, but Paul, they are enduring." And so Paul sits down and he writes this letter. And who do you think would have been the one chosen to take it back? Timothy. And by the way, we've got not just one letter to the Thessalonians, but two letters to the Thessalonians. So here you've got a young man who's not afraid to do hard things with regard to the kingdom. And here's a young man who didn't look at himself as someone who was ill-equipped or unqualified to provide strength and encouragement to people who are older than him. Someone who was willing to do hard things in the kingdom. And it doesn't even stop there. Look over in 1 Corinthians. Turn back, actually, to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Yeah, Corinth, you remember that place? We talked about it on Wednesday night. Corinth, the place where there was such evil going on among the people that it wasn't even named among the Gentiles. There was a man who had his father's wife in a sexual way, and so there's that huge problem going on there. The people are divided. They are taking each other to court. There are people who are going back to joining themselves to the prostitutes of idolatry. There's a lot of wickedness going on in Corinth. And I want you to notice just this one little nugget at the end of 1 Corinthians in chapter 16 and verse 10. It says, "If Timothy comes, see that he is with you without cause to be afraid, for he is doing the Lord's work as I also am. So let no one despise him, but send him on his way in peace, so that he may come to me, for I expect him with the brethren." So as Paul is using Timothy in ministry to go out and do various tasks, like go to Thessalonica and see how the brethren are doing there, take this letter back to Thessalonica, take another letter back to Thessalonica, hey, when you're out doing this other thing, why don't you swing through Corinth and see how things are going over there, and then I'll meet you like I planned to meet Titus up in Troas. And you'll be there as part of that number. And if you look on the very next page, you see that when Paul writes 2 Corinthians, that he writes that and names Timothy as one who is with him. And so I'm left to assume that between the writings of these letters that Timothy spent some time in Corinth and then met back up with Paul. And Timothy had some things that would have helped Paul to know what to write in his second letter. And so not only do we see Timothy going into the teeth of persecution in Thessalonica, but we also see him being willing to go and help a church like Corinth to wade through all of their problems. And how many of us as young people, how many of you, I guess I have to start saying now, how many of you as young people would think that you could go into a church that's got many, many problems and be someone that could offer help and encouragement and strength? Well, you can, if you're not afraid to do hard things. Look over in 1 Timothy chapter 1. This is where we'll spend the rest of our time. I want to show you one more example of how Timothy wasn't afraid to do hard things. And then we'll look at our last point. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 2, Paul says, "To Timothy, my true child in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, as I urged you upon my departure for Macedonia, remain on at Ephesus, so that you may instruct certain men not to teach strange doctrines, nor to pay attention to myths and endless genealogies which give rise to mere speculation rather than furthering the administration of God, which is by faith. All right, so there's a few pieces of information that tell us what's going on here. At some point, Paul and Timothy went back to Ephesus. Okay. And after they went to Ephesus, Paul left and went to Macedonia, but he left Timothy behind. And he said, I want you to stay in Ephesus, and here's what I want you to do. Charge certain men not to teach strange doctrines, and don't pay attention to these endless genealogies and the speculations of men rather than the administration of God by faith. So if we're looking through the book of Acts and we're trying to find a time when Paul and Timothy would have been in the city of Ephesus together and Paul would have left and gone to Macedonia and left Timothy behind, there's no place in Acts that fits that scenario. There was a time where Paul and Timothy were in Ephesus together, but on the second missionary journey, on the third missionary journey, where they left Ephesus together and went to Macedonia. So that doesn't fit the scenario. So the only thing that I'm left to conclude is that after the book of Acts was finished, that Paul did in fact get out of prison and he got to go and travel back to the city of Ephesus where he had spent 3 years before, and Timothy got to go with him. And at some point during their visit, Paul felt the need to go to Macedonia, likely to Philippi. He had told them to prepare a lodging for him up there. And so he went to Macedonia, but he told Timothy, you stay behind, and I want you to teach certain men not to teach strange doctrines. Now I want you to think about what Brother LaRon read for us just a few moments ago. There was a time on Paul's third missionary journey when he's headed back to Jerusalem, and he stops by to see the elders of the church at Ephesus. And he tells them that after he leaves, that there are going to be savage wolves who are going to come in to their flock and just ravage them. Savage wolves are going to come in and they're not going to spare the flock. And then he says something that just blows my mind. He says, even men from among your own selves are going to rise up and try to draw away disciples after themselves. When he says that, I think he's talking about the men that he's sitting there talking with. From the elders are going to be men who would rise up and try to draw away the disciples after themselves. Now, Paul makes that prediction on his third missionary journey when he's on his way back to Jerusalem. Okay, 4, 5, 6 years later, I don't know how long it would have been between that prediction and the writing of 1 Timothy, but think about what Paul has just done. He's taken this young man, Timothy, and he's taken him to the city of Ephesus, where some point in the past he predicted that savage wolves would enter the flock and ravage them, and that people who were supposed to be shepherding the flock would rise up and try to draw away disciples after themselves. And he says, okay, Timothy, here's what I want you to do. I want you to stay here in Ephesus, and I want you to take care of that situation. That sound like something that's easy to do, especially as a young person? No, that sounds hard. But one thing that we see out of Timothy was that he's not afraid to do hard things, especially in kingdom work. He's not afraid to get involved. He's not afraid. He doesn't undervalue himself and say, I'm ill-equipped. I'm not capable of helping in this situation. Part of what makes that possible is our point number one, where he's got older people who are pouring into him, investing in him, speaking truth and life and love into him that empower him and help him to feel that he is able to do kingdom work. You know, one of my least favorite things to hear about you guys as young people, and I don't think anybody does this on purpose, and I don't think they mean anything bad by it. But they refer to you as the church of the future. And every time I hear that, I think, oh, I don't like the sound of that. And I'm not throwing a stone at anybody who said that. But I want you to see yourself as the church right now. You serve a different role within the kingdom, within the body of Christ. Maybe you're a foot now and you're on your way to being something greater within the kingdom. But if you're in the kingdom, if you're in the body, you have a role, you have a purpose. God placed you within His body exactly where He pleased, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And He wants you to feel the responsibility of being part of the church right now, being part of the body right now. And don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to do hard things. To find yourselves in hard conversations. How hard would it be for you to have to walk up to one of your peers and say, you know what, we shouldn't be doing that. We shouldn't be thinking about that. We shouldn't be going there. We shouldn't be watching that movie. It's not appropriate. God wouldn't be honored by that. That would be hard. But don't be afraid to do hard things. Knowing that God has you in His body exactly where He wants you to be. And He's given you responsibilities in that place. Responsibilities that He wants you to grow and help others grow in that. And so he writes to Timothy over in chapter 4 and he gives him a little bit more encouragement. This would be the third point. While you're doing hard things and while you are working in the kingdom, he tells him in chapter 4 and verse 12, don't let anyone look down on your youthfulness. He's telling Timothy, there's going to come a time when people look at you and say, what does that whippersnapper know? He probably ate a Tide Pod or two in his life. What does he know? What does he have to offer? He's just a young whippersnapper. And so we don't really need to listen to what he has to say. And Paul speaks truth and life and love into his friend Timothy, and he says, don't let anybody do that to you. Don't let anybody treat you like you are less a part of the kingdom because you are young. And in fact, Paul further encourages Timothy to be an example in his speech, in his conduct, in his love, in his faith, in his purity. He says, be an example of those who believe. In my life, I've seen a lot of disappointment. I've been disappointed in myself many, many, many times. And I've been disappointed in others many times. And I think sometimes the older generations look at younger generations and the large part of their disappointment falls on them. I'm disappointed in these young people because of these reasons. I feel a little differently than that. To me, the source of my disappointment has been in myself and in people that are my peers. I look at people that I grew up with. I see their updates on Facebook. I see the way that they spend their time. I see the way that they put things in front of God. I see the way that I have done that many times in my own life. And to me, I'm far more disappointed in people that are in my peer group and older than I am of young people. Because us older people ought to know better. Us older people ought to be to a place where somebody can do something without us being instantly angry. Like there's just a plethora of information and admonition from the Lord that tells us that we need to be slow to anger. And yet I encounter a lot of people that are my age and older that are very quick to anger. I know a lot of bitter people. I know a lot of people who think that gossip is okay. At least they wouldn't say that, but in their practice, they like to engage in that. I've done that far too many times in my life. I know older people that think that slander is acceptable as long as it's done for what they consider to be a right reason. And the truth about all that is, no, it's not okay. Being quick to anger and being bitter and being a gossiper and being a slanderer is not okay. It's not okay at any age. And I say all that to say this to our young people. I imagine that you have been kind of disappointed at times at the examples that we as older people have put before you. I've been embarrassed. I've been disappointed in myself in the example that I've put before you many times. And while that is something that I'm dealing with and that I'm working on in my own life and trying to remove the log in my eye before I start helping people with the specks in theirs, I don't want you to miss what Paul says to Timothy here. It may very well be that you guys have been shown horrible examples in your life. It may very well be that you have been disappointed to a large degree in the people who are supposed to be modeling Christ for you. And let me just say that what Paul does to encourage Timothy here is the same thing that I want to do to encourage you. If we're showing a bad example in anything, then you show us a good example. And don't be afraid to put yourself out there as an example for someone who's trying to do it right. Even in the face of maybe even somebody who's older, who's not doing it right. He says to this young man, and literally, you got to remember, the context of this is Timothy has been placed in a cage with savage wolves who aren't doing it right, in fact, who are trying to tear the flock apart and to drag people away. Even the shepherds who are supposed to be leading and guiding and spiritually feeding this flock are trying to split things up. And Paul says to Timothy, you be an example of what a believer is and how a believer should talk and how a believer should conduct themselves and how a believer should love and the faith that a believer should have and the purity that a believer should have. And when the examples around you are so terrible, you be the good example for us. I want you to notice what he says is going to be the end of all that. He says in verse 16, pay close attention to yourself and to your teaching. Persevere in these things, for as you do this, you will ensure salvation both for yourself and for those who hear you. Some of us old folks need you, young people, to teach us how a believer is supposed to love, to teach us how a believer is supposed to serve. to teach us how a believer is supposed to conduct themselves. How a believer is supposed to speak. And the responsibility is not one that falls squarely on you and only on you. Obviously, we've got to do that for ourselves, brethren. We've got to read this book and realize that this is what God wants us to do. This is how He wants us to act. This is how He wants us to speak. This is how He wants us to serve and teach and minister. We got to do that. But young people, don't be afraid to show us what this book is really all about. God has put eternity in your heart just as much as He's put eternity in my heart. And sometimes I lose track. I lose sight of what this book is all about. And so don't be afraid to show me an example of who I ought to be. Me being a preacher does not make me immune from losing sight of what's most important in this life. Gray hair and a few extra pounds doesn't make us immune from needing to see Christ modeled in you. Don't be afraid to do that. And don't let anybody look down on you in your attempts to show us the right example. To speak truth into us. Because we need you. You're part of this body. And God has given you a role in this body to serve and to teach and to exemplify Christ's love in your life. And so sometimes I think that the young people probably feel like they don't have anything to offer. And sadly, sometimes we've made you feel that way. By treating you like your time in the kingdom is being reserved for some time after this. After you graduate, after you're out of college, after you're married, after you've got a couple of kids of your own, then you will have arrived and it'll be worth our time to listen to you. No, sir. No, ma'am. You have a purpose right now within the kingdom. And God wants you to feel that responsibility. And to recognize that your work in this body is important. It's important for you. It's important for your peer group. But it's also important for all us old people like me. And we all know Richie Glover needs to see it. So I think that'll be a fun little game. Is how can I work Richie Glover into every sermon, right? I'm kidding. I hope that the lesson has encouraged you today, not just as young people, but as all the people here today. I hope that you've been encouraged to see the responsibility that we have to other people, young and old, the responsibility that we have to serve each other, to help each other, to correct each other when that needs to happen. There's just not enough putting our arms around each other and saying, let's go for a walk and let's just talk about some things.